Job 23. Job 23. For context, let me read the first three verses. Then Job answered and said, "Even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat." Let the church say amen. Our Father, we pray that you add thy blessing to the reading of your word. Cleanse me of sin. Empty me of self. And fill me with your spirit. Help me to preach what thus saith the Lord. Hide me behind the cross of Christ. Make a difference through the preached word. Somebody that doesn't know Jesus is in the building today. Might that person take a drink from the living water? Nobody satisfies like Jesus. Please, Lord, meet with us in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Last week, we visited the life of Job. Please understand this about this man. He had two things going for him that you can rarely find in one individual. It's not hard to find rich people. And you can even find righteous people. But Job happened to be somebody who was both. He was rich and righteous. Living for God. God had blessed him and he knew where his blessings came from. And yet, being at the top, he found himself in one day down at the bottom. He lost everything. 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she donkeys, all of his servants, 7,000 sheep and shepherds consumed at once, 3,000 camels and servants. He lost it all. Oh, and by the way, all 10 of his children. Gone. Everything gone. From full to empty. From rich to broke. From absolutely storied to tragedy. God allowed the devil to trouble him this way. God removed the hedge. By the way, the devil couldn't do any of this stuff until God removed the hedge. I'd like to just pause this morning and thank God for the hedge. Somebody didn't hear me. I said, I'm thanking God for the hedge. I know somebody's in the building saying, Pastor, it's bad, it's real bad, it's rough, it's real rough, it's tough, it's real tough. I know it can be bad, I know it can be rough, and I know it can be tough, but it ain't as bad as it would be if you didn't have the hedge. Somebody ought to thank God that you made it from last week to this week. You made it from yesterday to today. You made it past seen and unseen dangers. You made it through spiritual warfare. You made it through them crazy drivers in Northern Virginia. You made it through the criminals who lost their mind. You made it through sickness on every hand. Some people passed this week. Some people are no longer with us. But we're here in the building, not just because we eat good, not just because we exercise well, not just because we're packing a gun, but we're here today because a holy, righteous, all-knowing, all-powerful God got a hedge around us. Amen. Thank God for the hedge. And somebody say, why? Why would God remove the hedge? Because he wanted to reveal to the devil and to those around Job that Job was for real. Thank God that in every day there are some for real Christians. And so God removed the hedge, and the devil had a time with Job, but only as good a time as God let him. I'm trying to get to the second part of the message, but I keep getting hung up on good stuff. I'm thanking God for the hedge of protection. I'm also thanking God that the devil can only go as far as God let. I thought I was moving on, but I'd like to tell you, you may think the devil's running the show. He ain't running the show. God gives him a role. God lets him play a part. God gives him a few lines in the script, but that old lying dragon, that liar, murdering thief, can only go as far as God lets them. Thank the Lord for it. And here he is. By the time he gets to Job 23, his wife thinks he's crazy. His three best friends think he's in sin. His world has gotten turned upside down. And so he cries out in Job 23 for Almighty God. And he depicts God in the courtroom. And he says, I need to see the judge. I need to see the judge. Why? Because this world was upside down. And please hear me. Please hear me. There was only one person that could make sense of madness, and that was the judge. This has been one of those weeks. It's just been one of those weeks. I went to see a church member's brother on Monday. He passed on Saturday. Two preachers that I knew unexpectedly passed away. Another preacher went in for an ordinary heart ablation and had a stroke. I mean, it's just been on and on and on and on. As a matter of fact, we look at our world and we see senseless tragedy and madness that seems to be the norm. I'm just trying to tell you, I talked to a pastor this morning, and he said to me this morning, as I told him I was praying for him, he said, I just am trying to make sense of this. He could not understand why one of his best men, one of his right-hand men, one of his healthy men, one of his godly men, by some unexpected scenario, left this life yesterday and went to be with God in glory. Now, please understand, when a child of God dies, it's not bad news for that child, because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And nobody ever went to heaven and wanted to come back here. Somebody say amen. But it is hard for us left behind, because we miss those. We miss those that mean something to us. And the pastor said, I'm trying to make sense. Listen to me. Psychiatrists can't make sense of it. Your good friends try to make sense of it. Your conscience tries to make sense of it. When tragedy comes and trouble comes and testing comes and difficulty comes, there's only one person's mind that will make sense of it all. And that's the judge. That's the judge. So Job, with a complaint from his soul, said, I need to see the judge, because my perpetual grief and my painful groaning gives me no other choice. Job, with the cause of his search, says, I need to see the judge, because there I will get a captive audience. Thank God that you don't have to meet with God along with a bunch of other people. Thank God you get an appointment one-on-one. Somebody say amen. He said, my complete appeal, I'm going to get a comprehensive answer. Aren't you glad that God answers? Somebody say, Pastor, he doesn't answer. Well, he doesn't always answer you the way you want him to, but he answers. Sometimes he says, no, that's an answer. Sometimes he says, wait, that's an answer. Sometimes he says, not now. I'm telling you, God has an answer. God is not some genie that gives you three wishes and you're done. I'm telling you, he knows what you're facing. He knows what you're going through, and he has an answer. Job said, that's why I want to see him. I've got comforting assurance. I know that he's going to put strength in me. Aren't you glad God ain't going to make fun of you? Here you are again. You're so needy. You always got problems. Aren't you glad that he never makes you feel bad for needing him? Oh, he says, I've got a contributing assistance, and God gives me a confident acquittal. He will. He said, I know that when I see God, I should be delivered forever from my judge. I'm glad that God has a way of acquitting us, that God has a way of clearing. Please understand, the devil is an accuser. The devil is an attacker. He smears your name. He paints a bad narrative of you. He makes people think bad of you. But I'm glad that God is a vindicator. God is a clearer. God is a defense. Somebody say amen. I need to see the judge. Number three, moving along. I need to see the judge because of the complexity of the situation. The complaint from my soul, I'm all messed up inside. The cause of my search, I got to get to him. But number three, the complexity of our situation. How many of you would say that life often puts you in complexing situations? Listen to Job's complexity. I go forward, he's not there. Here's what makes seeing the judge such a necessity. I can't find him. I can't find him. His inconspicuous presence. Watch this now. I know he's there. I know he's good. I know he's alive. But I can't find him. Please listen to the most godly man in the land. I go forward. He's not there. I go backwards. I cannot perceive him. Verse 9, on the left hand, where he doth work, behold, I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand that I cannot see him. Please follow along with me. God's presence, his inconspicuous presence, his invisible perception of God, his inconceivable prognosis. I don't know how it's going to turn out. The incomparable place he's in. Job says, I'll tell you why I'm begging to see God, because it feels like he's not there. It feels like I can't find him. Maybe you're so spiritual this morning, you've never been there, but I'm telling you, the most godly man in the land said, I'm used to finding God. I'm used to locating God. I'm used to hearing God. But right now, I don't know where he is. You ever been there? You have been in so much trouble and you couldn't find God? Notice he said on the left hand where he doth work. In other words, I mean, that's my spot. I mean, where I can always get my come through. He said, I don't even see him there. Listen to me. I want to tell you, sometimes life gives you problems and they're a quick fix. Other times, life gives you problems and they are complex. Listen, when somebody's gone unexpectedly, that's complex. When you lose your job out of the norm, that's complex. Or when your marriage goes the wrong direction and you don't know how you got there, that's complex. When a storm rushes in unannounced, that's complex. When you feel like you're up to here, so stressed out that you don't know what to do with it, that's complex. Pastor, why are you painting this scene? Because I'm telling you, this doesn't just happen to wicked, ungodly people. This is a man right with God. I can't find him. I can't make sense of it. Nothing adds up. Ladies and gentlemen, we understand when a criminal gets sentenced to jail. We understand when a drunk runs off the road. We understand when a liar gets busted. We don't understand when godly people get cancer. We don't understand when good men get attacked. They're complex. Job says, I've got to see the judge. I've got to see the judge, please. Notice number four, I'm moving. The complaint of his soul. I'm messed up inside. By the way, you don't let this prevalence in our society of the need to display such a composed imagery of yourself get you to fake all the time like you ain't messed up inside. Preach, Pastor. Some of y'all was wondering when I was going to finish that sentence so you could decide whether you said amen. Well, I'm finished. We got too much of this. Here I go again. And this social media is such a convenient tool. The internet is such a convenient tool. Technology is such a convenient tool to dress yourself up as if you have it together. Because you got money in the bank, don't mean you're together. Just because you got a good clean bill of health don't mean you're together. Just because you're sitting here with nice clothes on next to each other doesn't mean you're together. Just because you're in church, in ministry, leading other people doesn't mean you're together. Just because you move up the social ladder doesn't mean you're not moving down the spiritual. Just because you got Bible verses memorized doesn't mean you're living them out. Just because you carry your Bible doesn't mean your Bible's carrying you. First step this morning is stop acting like you got it all together and admit you messed up inside. Here's number four. Here's why I'm in such a hurry to see the judge. The complaint for my soul, the cause of my search, the complexity of my situation. Number four, the consistency of my service. Watch this now. I'll tell you why. I gotta see him. I gotta see him because I know I've been doing right. Okay. Three and a half of you. Let me just introduce you to a simple fact that you don't have to have a criminal record to know. Ain't nobody out there doing a bunch of crimes in a hurry to see the judge. Watch this now. Guilty people don't show up to court. Innocent people want you to hurry up and give them their day. Somebody help me preach. I'm trying to tell you, you can't jump in Job 23 unless you've been living with Job in 1 through 22. I'm trying to tell you, you can't live a guilty life and want to see the judge, because this judge will not be deceived by circumstantial evidence. He's been watching every step you take. Job says, there's consistency in my service. That's why I want to see the judge. Tell me about the judge. Oh, the judge knows that there are some cinched practices of mine. Watch now, verse number 10. Nine highlights. I can't find him. I don't know where he is. I can't behold him. He's hiding himself. I can't see him. But notice verse number 10. Verse number 9 says what Job cannot see. Verse number 10 says what the judge can see. Verse 10, he knoweth the way that I take. Now watch this now. I understand that the judge has a detailed acquaintance with me, and that the judge will give a divine approval of me. Watch this now. There are friends that think I'm in sin. There's a wife that thinks I'm crazy. There are haters that think I'm not right with God. But there's somebody in heaven who sits high and who looks low. And regardless of what they say about me, he knows who I am. He knoweth the way that I take. Job said he knoweth the way that I take. Let me hasten and get these points out the way so I can preach to you. Now watch this now. He sensed my practices. He's engaging me in a serious process. Watch this now. Job says, with the judge, I'm going to have steady progress. With the judge, I've demonstrated strong performance. With the judge, I've engaged in spiritual persistence. With the judge, I've made him a superlative priority. And with the judge, I've got sincere passion. Help me, Pastor. I'm telling you, Job said, I don't know. I don't know where he is, but he knows where I am. And I'm glad today that when I can't find God, God can find me. Job said, I'll tell you what he'll find me doing. He'll find me living right. Verse 11, my foot hath held his step. I've been doing right. His way have I kept and not declined. Somebody help me preach. Job said, I'll tell you I want to get to the judge because I've been faithful to the judge. I'll tell you I want to get to the judge because I've been doing right when nobody's looking. I'll tell you I want to get to the judge because I live by personal integrity. I'll tell you I want to get to the judge because I've been doing right as best as I know how. Listen, you've been robbing God. You don't want to see the judge. You've been sneaking around behind your husband or wife's back. You don't want to see the judge. You've been spitting out a bunch of dirty words when nobody's listening. You don't want to see the judge. You've been watching stuff on the television. You shouldn't be watching. You don't want to see the judge. You got a double personality full of hypocrisy when nobody's looking around. You don't want to see the judge. You've been doing things that mom and daddy don't know and would be ashamed to find out about. You don't need to see the judge. But when you get up every day, as best as you know how, and live for God, somebody take me to the judge. I've made the judge a superlative party. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. Watch this now. Here's what Job's saying. I didn't let all of these trials in my life run me off from obeying God. Come on. It's the first thing we stop doing when trials come. Right. First place people quit coming to when they get in problems. Church. First book they drop, the Bible. Come on. Well, watch this. God understands. Who said God understands? I've been going places I shouldn't go, but God understands. No, he doesn't. I've had some habits. I've been hanging out in places I shouldn't hang out, but God, no, he doesn't understand. Well, doesn't he know it's hard? Yeah, and he knows he gave you enough grace to handle the hardness. Somebody would help me preach, please. Listen to me. Stop speaking for God that he understands sin. He would understand sin if you had no remedy to overcome sin. But he does not understand sin when he's given you his Holy Spirit, when he's given you his precious word, when he's given you his divine assistance. You say, preacher, the devil is crafty. You say, sin's on every hand. The flesh is wicked. Yeah, but greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. God doesn't understand sin. Says, I'm going through a process. When he hath tried me, what's the process? Well, Job is depicting God as a goldsmith. Job is depicting God lighting a fire. Job says, listen. God is trying to purify me. And the only way to purify gold is to put it through the fire. Somebody help me preach. And the refiner will tell you in no uncertain terms, the hotter the fire, the purer the gold. Raise your hand if you feel like you're in the fire. Come on now. I'm in the fire, Pastor. I'm in the fire. Now watch this. Watch this, what Job said. When he have tried me. Now watch this now. James makes it very clear. There are two he's that you got to deal with in life. And both of them make you feel like you don't feel good. One is the he called the devil. And the other is the he called God. One he called the devil will tempt you to sin. And the other he called God will try whether or not you're steadfast. Job said, the devil's tempting me to sin, but God is trying my steadfastness. God's got the fire turned up. God's got the heat turned up. God's got the test turned up. But watch this now. After he's tested me, after he's purified me, after he's refined me, I shall come forth as gold. I'm not going to give you a big blacksmith lesson and tell you I know a lot about gold, but I am going to tell you this. Anybody that knows about gold will tell you that gold is a pure metal and it does not burn. It will not burn. I will tell you what does burn. Something called dross. And dross represents the impurities in a metal that have to be burned away from the metal. Now watch this now. If it burns when the heat's turned up, it's not gold, it's dross. If the heat doesn't get turned up, the dross can't be. Somebody listen now. I'm saying God knows there's some stuff in you that needs to go. There's some dross in you that needs to be detached. There's some stuff in you that needs to be left behind. He's turning up the fire, refining you as gold. And here's what he's saying. I'll get the dross out and I'll make you pure gold. And you've heard me say it 100 times. You cannot come out of the fire as gold unless you went in as gold.
Watch this. I'm going through a trial. And just pray. It's time for me to get right. No, it's time for you to be right before you went through it. Everybody want to turn on the go-go gadget Jesus when trial comes. Everybody's looking for a cape and a phone booth. Come on. Everybody want to run to the church and act spiritual when trials come. You don't have enough adrenaline in you to fake righteous when the trial comes. You will be it when it shows up, and you will keep being it while you go through it, and you will come out a better it after it, only if you were it before it. Amen. And if you're not in the fire right now, I would suggest to you be as best gold you can be. Because if you want to come out better gold out of the fire, you better go in as some gold. I shall. Do you believe that? Notice verse 12, and I'm almost done. I've esteemed his words, last phrase, more than my necessary food. Hey, Joe, tell me how you know you're going to make it. Hey, Joe. Your wife thinks you're crazy. Your friends think you're in sin. Your money's gone. Your barns are burned down. Servants, all your stocks and bonds evaporate. What makes you think you're going to come out of this, Joe? I'll tell you why. I have maintained a steady diet of this right here. Somebody listen. He said, listen. He said, in times like these, I need this more than I need Chick-fil-A. Come on. I need this more than I need my favorite restaurant. I need this more than I need bacon and eggs. Here's what he's saying. I get up in the morning, I like my breakfast, but more than getting that breakfast on the stove, I need to meet with God. Amen. I'm going to tell you why people can't come out of trials as gold. They don't know how to prioritize this book in their lives. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against God. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make the way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. The grass withereth, and the flower fadeth, but the word of God shall endure forever. Sanctify them by thy truth, for thy word is truth. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, fully furnished unto all good works. For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now no scripture came by private interpretation, Peter says, but holy men of God, as they were moved by the Spirit. Please, ladies and gentlemen, understand that when everything else fails and nothing else works, the B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God. The B-I-B-L-E. Everybody's looking for a word from somebody, a comment from somebody else, an opinion from some talk show host, some authority from some rich millionaire. But I'm glad that God, in His supernatural phenomenon, produced a manuscript that's inspired, infallible, and inerrant. He took 40 men over 1600 period time and produced a Bible that is perfect, that is prophetic, that is pure, that is penetrating, that is probing, that is piercing, that is profitable, that is precious, that is powerful, that is potent, and that is perfect from cover to cover. It's still the bestseller. You don't need Oprah. You don't need Dr. Phil. You don't need some shrink. You don't need some highfalutin educationist. You need the good old fashioned Bible. Amen. Job said, I'm going to make it. Because there was one thing when I lost everything that I couldn't remove from my life. And I'm going to tell you right now, without even having a conversation with you, if you walked in here today and your life is spiraling downward spiritually, somewhere in your life, without me talking to you, you got away from this. You can tell everybody everything else you want to. You ain't in this. You don't read it. You don't study it. You don't memorize it. You don't meditate on it. And you sure enough can't obey it.
Come on.
And you can throw out every excuse you want to. It's hard. I'm going through a lot. You don't know what I'm going through. You ain't going through nothing that's bigger than the cross. And if God got out the grave, then bless God, thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord and Savior. Quit that. I'm not trying to downplay your trials. I'm not trying to belittle your circumstances. I'm not trying to tell you that you're really not hurting inside. But I'm telling you, there's no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. God is faithful, not some of you be tempted above that you're able. But we with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, you steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know your labor is not in vain in the Lord. They beat him. They bruised him. They belittled him. They brutalized him. They put him in a borrowed grave. They put nails in his hands and nails in his feet. Ripped his beard out. Crowned him with a crown of thorns. Threw him in some grave. And the devil and his cronies celebrated his demise. But 3 days later, he got up from the grave. And Paul said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. I'm here to tell you, I don't claim humanism. I don't claim motivational speaking. I don't claim Steve BD. I claim resurrection power.
Amen.
You better get back to this book. And while I'm thinking about it, pick a church that's centered around this book. And not one that'll get you shucking and jiving all the time. And still shucking and jiving in sin. That's a clock. Just want you to know, I know what it is. His conviction about the sovereign, we close. He's the one man who can turn him. What his soul desires, even that he doeth. Joseph, I'm going to tell you something about the judge. He has an absolute purpose in what he does. And he has an authoritative prerogative about what he does. Watch this now. Here's what Job said. I found out when I start thinking about the judge and my convictions about the judge help me keep on persevering in my trial. Watch this now. He does what he wants to do and he doesn't need nobody's help. Wow. He has an appointed providence. He performeth the thing that's appointed to me. Here's what Job says. I understand that when the appointments that I've made don't materialize, that I don't have to fall off and get discouraged. Because even when I miss my own made appointments, I won't miss the ones he makes for me. Listen, who's governing your life? Are you all bent out of shape because everything you scheduled didn't happen? Or are you confident to know that it's going to be okay because everything he scheduled will happen? And there's an awesome persona of God. I'm the persona of God. I'm troubled at his presence. Wow. I'm fearful and fretful. I'm in awe of God. His awesome persona brings about an admitted perplexity. God maketh my heart soft. The Almighty troubleth me. I was not cut off for darkness, neither have he covered the darkness from my face. It's a little confusing to understand because Job in a few verses says, God knows what he's doing. He's in control. I'll come forth as gold. And then he gets back to the end of the psalm and says, I'm troubled at God. As good as God is, as great as God is, I look at my circumstance and think, he could have kept me from going through all of this, and he didn't. And as much as I figured out about God,
At the end of the day, I come back to this conclusion. I do not have him figured out. You say, Pastor, what kind of fun is that?
I'll tell you what it is.
It'll keep you on the edge of your seat. Trusting and believing. If he doesn't do it, it ain't going to get done. Listen, there are days when I think about God and I go, good gracious Allah. I mean, can he get any better than this? You ever get there? You're just up on the mountain. Woo-wee, woo-wee. I mean, the devil's down there waving at you. You ain't paying him no attention. You just feel like going to Amazon, buying you a big super soaker, filling it up with water, and just putting out all the fire in hell, just shooting it all, with a water gun. You feel that strong about it. And there are other days when things go so bad, it's like, I don't get it. Like, how can you go from a week of all success to a week of one tragedy after another? It's almost like God's way of saying, you ain't going to get this thing figured out. This is the more stuff that happens in my life that I can't explain, the more I remind the reins of my brains, I don't know what's going on. God has to find a way sometimes in his own unique style to keep us trusting him. Because if everything goes good all the time, we'll think we're doing it. And that's why everybody says, I see some Christian people coming here so excited about God, and one bad thing happens through the week. They can't smile. They can't sing. They're so stressed out. I'm talking about some of you. That's why you're laughing. You're laughing at yourself. We all get there sometime. You don't realize you're there because your eyes face me, but mine face you. Last time we sang that song, you were screaming. This time, we're still singing about the same person. The song wasn't about you last time. It was thou, O Lord. It wasn't about you last time. It's you drink from his water and you'll never thirst again. Church was never about lifting you up. Thank God it's not, because we have some bad services. Church is about lifting him up. I see Christian people sometimes they come to church, oh, Pastor, God is blessing us so good. Get your mind on the right person. There's only one person with a gavel, and it's not you or me. It's God. We need him. I say we need him. And maybe you can join Job in this psalm, Job 23. Say, my problem is, I'm closing again. But at some point in your Christian life, you're going to have to quit dialing up 18,365 Christians to help you through your mess and set up one appointment with God. And unless you learn how to see God, you're going to be on everybody's prayer list until Jesus comes. And when you get to heaven, you're going to say, I never did get off that prayer list, but I sure have some good prayer warriors. And God's going, yeah, did you ever think about putting me on the list? Going around telling everybody, I don't care what nobody tell you, I'm innocent. I don't care what nobody tell you. If anybody around this church tell you what I did, I'm telling you right now, I'm a good person deep down inside. I'm sorry, spitting on you, sanctified saliva. But anyway, I'm holy spit. I'm just trying to tell you I'm doing a good person. People try to run me down. I don't care what you hear about me, I'm just trying to tell you. Don't believe everything you hear. Going around the whole church talking to everybody, heading everybody off. You can't head everybody off anyway. Because some of them they talk to you can't find. And half of them don't believe you anyway. Why don't you get up in the morning, get on your knees. Talk to God about it. And then let him work things out from his headquarters. And you'll find out what you spent all week doing trying to exonerate yourself, God can do without even flinching. I need to see the judge. Father, thank you. Thank you for being good. Thank you for being God. Thank you for being faithful. And we pray today, God, that you'd help us to to spend more time trying to get before you. Just tell it before everybody else. Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around. How many say, Pastor, I know that I'm saved. If you know that, you have Bible reasons to prove it, would you raise your hand? I know that I'm saved and I'm going to heaven. I have Bible reasons to prove it. Put your hand up, would you? All over the building. Put your hand down. Pastor, I need to see the judge this morning. If that's you, would you raise your hand? I need to see the judge this morning. I got some things I'm going through. I need to get before the judge. Come on, put your hand up. Be honest. God bless you. God bless you. All over the building. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Let me put your hands down. Let me ask you one more question. How many say, Pastor, I'm not sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven, but I'm sure I don't want to go to hell. Pray for me. I'm not sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven, but I'm sure I don't want to go to hell. Please pray for me. If that's you, would you raise your hand? Anybody like that? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. There. I see those hands. You may put them down. Anyone else? Anyone else? I'm not sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven, but I'm sure I do not want to go to hell. Pray for me. Anybody? Anybody else? Anybody else? To my left. God bless you. God bless you. God hears you. I'm telling you, the judge hears you. He sees. Stand together. Thank you, sir. I see your hand all over the building. Stand, would you? Father, would you bless this invitation? Move in our midst. In Jesus' name.